the Corinthians, the chapter 4, verse 6. 2nd Epistle to Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We tried to lay a foundation this morning in speaking a very little of this fullness of the glory of God manifested in the person, the man Christ Jesus. And we cannot afford to linger there, although so little was said and so much might be said. It is written that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that this was God's peculiar method of manifesting himself to mankind. And we only just touched upon a few of those excellent glories that are found in him. Time would fail to speak of God's love shining in him, God's mercy shining in him, God's long-suffering. We spoke of his wisdom and his righteousness, God's holiness shining forth in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that to be in a way of benefit, as a fountain is beneficial by its streams, so is this fullness reposed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be locked up, not to be confined, but to flow, to be beneficial, to bring blessing, to be communicated. Well, I say, a time forbids that we should stay on that peculiar path. But I hope perhaps the hymns we have sung might serve to supplement what I have left out, and how beautiful some of our poets have enlarged on the subject. See where it shines in Jesus' face, the brightest image of his grace. And so on. God in the person of his Son has all his mightiest works outdone, and the glory and blessedness of heaven will be to gaze with new admiring eyes upon a man, a glorified man, so contemplated. But he has in himself, in his beauty and loveliness and perfections, that which will ravish and satisfy and overflow the souls of the redeemed forevermore. They should not want any other diversion. There be no interruption. It never grows stale nor weary. Millions of years my wandering eyes shall o'er his beauties rove. Beauty is a thing which captivates us, is it not, even in a human being? But what shall we say when, if we are indeed favoured to see him who is the fairest of 10,000 fairs, and see him without a veil, and what is more, not only behold him, but to be like him, which was another feature of him, the glory of his manhood, his mediation, was that his resurrection is the pledge that he shall come and shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That is the prospect, a beneficial view of the light of the glory of God shining in and flowing forth from the person Christ Jesus. Now we want to pass on, and there's one aspect now, namely this: the fullness of Christ and this glory reposing in him cannot do sinners good unless it proceeds. What good would a sun do us in the heavens if his rays and his warmth did not proceed and reach us to our benefit, to our comfort? It is so with the glory of Christ and this light of the glory. Ere it can do for sinners good, it must necessarily reach them by way of communication. And now here is a sobering note. Consider that thousands saw the man Christ Jesus when he came in his first advent. Did they receive the light of his glory? Did it shine in to them? No. You see what we read a verse or two before. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Solemn to say that thousands saw no more nor further than the man. Who is it but Jesus of Nazareth? We know his parents, sisters and brothers. Are they not with us? That was an end of it. Rejected him. The God of this world has blinded the mind. What a contrast with the God of heaven. His light illuminates the mind, which speaks of this mighty difference. I read to you how it came to Paul, this light, above the brightness of the sun. It was the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in Paul's heart. And that is the difference. And it does shine, it'll go on shining in sinners' hearts until the last vessel of mercy has experienced it, and then it will shine no more in that way. Now there's one word I left out this morning. It was the word knowledge. And we now bring it in. We ask this question: how does the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine into the hearts and minds of sinners? It is this way: through the medium of knowledge. Knowledge. Whereas there is a knowledge which puffeth up and is superfluous and is related to nature, there is a knowledge which is vital, which is saving, which is attractive, which is indispensable. You'll find a lot about it in the New Testament. This is life eternal. What? Knowledge. That they may know thee. Know thee. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This light of glory then will flow into sinners' hearts and minds by way of knowledge. But still there's furthermore to explain that there is a variation of communication. For this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ was communicated to Old Testament saints. Oh yes. by and through the ministry of the Spirit in types and shadows, they obtained a sufficient knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ as to minister to them salvation and satisfaction in life and in death. These all died in faith. Therefore, they went to heaven. Therefore, they had a saving, satisfying knowledge through the types and shadows which ministered to them of Christ. Then there was the knowledge conveyed directly through the Spirit to the prophets. And that was very beautiful and very blessed, as you may gather from the 53rd of Isaiah. What a view, and what a light, and what a knowledge of the glory of God in Christ is found in the 53rd of Isaiah. There's communication, very satisfying to them. Then, further, in the days of Christ himself, there was a knowledge conveyed of his person, and that by his own power. See him walking by the seaside, and calling two, and calling another two, calling whom he would. A band of 12, 11 of them, were to receive and to enjoy this shining forth of his glory in their four hearts. And this was a very great privilege, for you know Jesus said many of the prophets and wise men have desired to see the things which you see and hear the things which you hear, and they did not. But your eyes are very blessed, and so your ears. Why? Because there was a direct saving shining forth into their poor hearts of the glory of God in the face and teaching of the man Christ Jesus. Happy were those disciples, we say. I would wish to have been with him then, would you not? And then came this other way which Paul received, direct from heaven. Direct, no intermediate medium, but a light. Direct, and a voice direct too. Same thing, the light of the knowledge. An immediate, revealing, powerful, saving, transforming knowledge irradiated the heart of Paul. No wonder that he speaks with such authority and such emphasis. Have shone in our hearts to give. Oh, I wish I could dwell on these words. To give. Shows how it comes, you see. We don't buy it. We don't merit it. We don't work it. It is given. Comes spontaneously, comes unsought. So that was the communication as far as they were concerned. The question for you and I is, has it reached us? Has this light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ reached us? We spent a long time coming to the point. It seemed necessary to say these other things. But now it can flow to us by no other means than by the communicating of the knowledge of Him. Knowledge of Him and of this glory. And it reaches us not as with the prophets directly. We claim no direct inspiration, no. But when it comes to poor sinners, it comes like this, through the ministry of the Spirit, through the medium of God's Word, and by and through the reception of faith. That's how it comes. And this word knowledge of the glory, I want to encourage the weakest. I will not set up a standard that few can reach. I would say that this knowledge is a comprehensive thing, that it covers the very first breath of divine life to the ripened saint entering glory. I would say this, it includes that knowledge which the redeemed have in glory. There, that's the scope of this word, the knowledge. So you see, if you are weak, if you are a seeker, if there's some good thing in your heart toward the Lord God of Israel, take heart, because it comes within the scope and circle of this knowledge of the light of the glory. It has reached your heart. Do take courage then from that view. And now just the evidences of this light reaching us. Where this glory flows into our hearts, it must necessarily produce effects. The sun shining on the rocks grows nothing, does it? The sun shining on the clay hardens it. The sun shining on the seed in the furrow brings effect. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So there will be effects. Shall we examine them? This light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining then in the means of grace, through his word, through the ministry of his servants, will have this effect. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Now let's stop. Has it done that? The entrance of that word, the entrance of that glory will bring light. Like the shining in of a light through the grating of a prison. It shines in. It is not a light which at that time cheers the soul and brings it into liberty and fills it with joy unspeakable. No. Mostly it is just this, some small glimmering light I have, but too dark to see my way. A shining in which discovers the gloominess of our prison. A shining in which sufficiently discovers our darkness. You can understand that. In some loathsome prison, there's a grating. When the sun shines, a few rays come in. Same sun, glorious sun, but the rays are restricted. The effect is just sufficient light to discover the loathsome prison. Do you know it? Have you had sufficient shining in the entrance of the word to discover what a gloomy prison this is? What filth, what vermin, what unclean, objectionable things are there? What sin, what evil imaginations, what enmity, what iniquity, what deception? Well, you would say, is this light? I never thought it was. It is. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple, such an understanding of themselves as they never had before. How do you prove this? Well, you feel very unhappy about it. You feel miserable. You do not feel you want to stay like it. It will cause you to cry out. Strange cry it is. Can ever God dwell here? Will God in very deed dwell with such an one? Well, here is the effect of light. You have fresh complaints. Complaints you never had before. Oh, the wretched heart I've got. Who told you so? What a calmer mind I've got. Who told you so? All the workings of wickedness I now discover. Oh, I'm unfit to come into the house of God, totally unfit to draw near to his people. And my prayers, how abominable they appear to me, full of sin, defiled throughout. Who told you so? You see, the entrance of his word, the entrance of this light of glory shining forth from Christ, it lights up the heart in measure. And this stage is just sufficient to see what you don't want to see. And strange to say, at this time, the eyes are turned inwards. Turned inwards. Yes, we are prone at such a time to be looking for a work of grace, looking for sanctification, looking for reformation, looking for a godly sorrow, looking for repentance, and all those excellent things. And what do you see? Nothing but darkness, transgression, iniquity, a broken law, unworthiness, unfitness, evil imaginations, departures from God, rebellions, everything which is hateful to you and to God. Then you understand what it is to walk with the saints in the scriptures, who felt the same. One says, Lord, if thou wert to mark iniquity, who should stand? Who should stand? And another says, Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And another one says, woe is me, for I am undone. Another one says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, would you believe it, that this is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God penetrating, penetrating. I told you that the beginning of this text was founded on an illustration from the old creation. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You see those first two or three verses in Genesis. Darkness covered the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void. There, a picture of desolation. Well, when the light came, the light which God spake into being, it discovered that, discovered it. There was no beauty then, no, but it was the beginning of beauty. But 6 days more, and we see the whole creation developed, and behold, it was very good. Now, take courage. If it is maybe the first day of a new creation in your breast, and God has just said, let there be light, and you see all your darkness, deformity and ugliness, yet this is the beginning. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. But look, doth the earth bring forth in a day? And is a nation born at once? No, not usually. Well then, be patient. Be patient. And take my word for it, though this is not at all pleasant, there is hope concerning thine end. It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining from the face of Christ Jesus, who is the Son of righteousness, the Son in the center of the gospel system. And so where this light falls, it begins and brings light simultaneously. Yes. Now the next thought is following the same theme, and that is, a poor soul has had sufficient light to discover that he has no help in self. Have you come to that? Have you looked all around, as it were, the recesses of your soul, all the possible works that you can muster? Now you come to this point, I have seen an end of all perfection, and thy commandment is exceeding broad. Have you come there? Or have you been brought to this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall there no flesh be justified? That's light. Did you think it was? That's the light of glory shining in, discovering what you haven't. Discovering what you haven't got. Now comes a change in the direction of your soul, that you're called to look abroad, to look away from yourself, to look up, out, to see if there's help anywhere apart from yourself. Oh, that is also the light of glory drawing. Draw me, we will run after thee. The first inquiry of those Pentecostal sinners, after they'd looked into themselves, was to look out of themselves and inquire, sirs, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's a hopeful cry. I'd like to hear it. And there's an answer to it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold your King. Behold the man, Christ Jesus. Now another effect of this shining will be a discovery of Christ Jesus in his own light. In thy light we see light. And the best figure I can use to illustrate the point is, in the winter time, when it's very, very cold, and we see the beautiful sun in the heavens, we see it. We see its beauty, and we see its clarity. But what is wrong? We cannot feel its warm beams. Cannot feel it. Doesn't reach us beneficially. Are you in that place? You've got more light. You say, I see what Christians ought to be. You say, I see in Christ what I need. Yes, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I see God's everlasting mercy flowing from him, flowing to the church, blessing and benefiting poor sinners, but he seems to me like the sun in the winter time, far off. Well now, this is a little further in divine things. Perhaps you can walk with one who said, why art thou so far from me, O Lord, so far from helping me? He seems afar off, and your prayers don't seem to reach him, and his benefits don't seem to reach you. Well, I'm going to tell you that this light of the glory is nevertheless working. That sun in the winter time, whose rays we complain do not reach us, they do. They're doing something in the ground, aren't they? They're doing some research work in the roots. Yes, there's work going on in the creation nevertheless, though the benefits are not sensibly felt. There's a transforming work going on. And so, in the soul that is discovered far off the glory and fullness of Christ, there is some transforming work going on within. I might help you to tell you what it is. Sending forth of hungry desires. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not much satisfaction in it, is there? No. But it's the effect, you see, a transforming effect on your heart, because you're not born with that prayer, you see. You're not born like this. It's not the voice of nature. And perhaps you see him afar off and say, oh, that he was revealed to me. I want the blessing that his people have. The companions in the gardens hear thy voice, cause me to hear it. I see that thy people are blessed with godly sorrow, repentance unto salvation that needeth not to be repented of. And I want it, I want it. Do you? And I see too that they are blessed with faith, precious faith, which enables them to believe on him to the saving of the soul. I see that this precious faith they have, it purifies their hearts. I see that it produces love and obedience. I see that this precious faith which they have endures, yes, stands every storm, and lives at last. And I want it. And I'm sending forth of desires and prayers unto him who has all fullness in himself. And you see that the people of God are blessed with that rich blessing, love. Or you say, what a choice people they are. What a choice gift they have. I hear them talking. I hear them communing. I read of the seasons and the visits which they have. And like Job said, there was granted me life and favour, and thy visitations have preserved my spirit. And here am I, a poor, dried up thing, cumber ground. But oh, I do send out these requests, if so be, if it could be possible that Christ would cast a loving look upon me and smile me into fruit or chide, if no milder means will do. And then you see God's people bearing fruit. Or you say, I see them bearing the fruits of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness. I see them growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Here am I. I've scarcely made a start, except that I'm miserable, and I've light sufficient to see my darkness and ugliness and far-off state. Well, what do? You don't rest there. Why, you're crying unto him, surely. From day to day, and perhaps many times in the day, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Preserve me from the evil. Let thy hand be with me. Well, now, can you honestly subscribe to these experiences? Is it not the path in which many of you walk? You see him afar off. He's a glorious sun. He is indeed far off. You do not feel his warm, healthful rays upon your soul. You're apt to think that yours is a moonlight religion which has light but no warmth in it. You fear that yours is nothing more than head knowledge. I'll ask you this question. Can you be satisfied with it? People that have head knowledge only, it puffs them up or settles them down. Secure, without question, without exercise. Now look, this knowledge you have of the Lord Jesus, though it is scanty enough, it doesn't leave you satisfied. No. You say, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness, not before. And your exercises compel you to go again and again. And you do. Go again 7 times. Yea, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In due time, the vision will come and will not tarry. Which leads me on to a third view of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining into the heart. And now this we might liken to the summer sun. The summer sun. Now when the summer sun begins to rise, when the spring passes and merges into summer, the sun is high, and the rays beam forth, they penetrate with healthful warmth, softening, irradiating, giving life, liveliness. All things wear another aspect. It is summer. Yes, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. It is summer, high summer. Well, now, we might speak of this by degrees. And that is, it is to be known through the ministry or through the private reading of the word or through the precious hymns that the warmth of that glory and knowledge begins to flow into the soul. And how would you know it? I'll tell you. It is the raising up of hope and expectation, the drawing forth of faith and dependence upon the finished work of Jesus with some measure of comfort with it. Now, have you found it so? Yes, you may perhaps be able to say, at such a time or at such a season, my experience changed a little for the better. Yes? I'd heard of these things, I'd seen Christ afar off, but from that time I began to think of him differently, hopefully, and my soul went forth in a sweet dependence upon him, and it produced comforts in my soul, a hope of salvation, hope that I should one day realize my interest, realize his pardoning grace in my poor soul. Why, this is the effect of the summer sun rising, the sun of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Or we begin to heal, yes, by raising up a gospel hope in the breast. Sweet it is to find this expectation. This expectation of the poor, which shall not be forgotten forever. And then there is the shining in of this glory, which brings with it a sweet, blessed satisfaction. Some here felt that to a greater extent. The shining into their soul of the glory of redemption, the glory of a free and full forgiveness, the shining into their soul of the glory of God's love through and by the man Christ Jesus. And what does it do? Why, it is known by its effects. Its effects. You cannot experience this and not know it. No. It's bound to bring gracious effects. Something like this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It brings with it the love. Yes, we love him because he first loved us. You cannot be a pardoned sinner and remain cold as clay. No. The love of Christ constraineth us. This is what it does. Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? Love loves to serve. Love seeks an opportunity to return its affection. And when the love of God, the love of Christ, flows into the soul, it brings about those happy and sweet expressions that are found in the Song of Solomon. Don't often get there, but it is to be known. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. As mercy flows into the soul, rich, tender, sure, great, abundant, free, and everlasting mercy is tasted, flows into the soul through these warm beams the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Oh, how it draws out praise, thanksgiving, and holy service, and prompt and cheerful obedience. Yes, it will make one willing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I want to remind you of this. In the word knowledge is contained all the variable degrees of this experience. And if you have a beginning, you shall have an end. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. One more effect I would like just to touch upon. It is in the last verse of the preceding chapter. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of God, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Now here is another effect by which we may examine whether this light of glory has reached our soul. It will have a transforming effect, changing us in our measure to the same image, the image of Christ. As the sun shines upon the moon, it reflects the glory. A lesser degree, a subdued measure, but it's a reflection. And if the light of this knowledge of glory of God shines in your and my heart, it will change us into the same image in our measure. Grace for grace. In him perfection, in us degree and measure. So then there will be the love of Christ working in us, constraining us. And there will be the meekness of Christ working in us. There will be the patience of Christ. Patience. Yes, fellowship with his sufferings. That is the patient endurance of the suffering appointed in your measure. He was the perfect patient sufferer. We can only be changed in our degree and measure into that same image. So with the other graces, humility, wisdom, holiness, changed into the same image. But now to close, see what awaits these dear characters. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. They may behold my glory. Now that beholding will not be as merely a spectator. It will be a participating of it. The glory which I have will be in them, and I in them. Thou in me, are in thee, they may be one in us. What a unity, and what a conformation to the image of Christ. Now, to leave it there, do cherish the least degree, even the day of small things, in your soul, which brings a measure of that light, of the knowledge, of the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ, in his mediatorial work and office.